This is 91.7 WHUS Storrs, Connecticut. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It is February 22nd, 2017. Welcome to Bicycle Talk, this week with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you please can call or text at 860-486-9487, or you can email me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or you can also visit Bicycle Talk now on Facebook, and you can leave any comments you'd like. If you would like to be a guest on the show, please feel free to contact me, and I will discuss it with you. Love to have guests. I have a guest here today, which is very exciting, and I'll get to my guest in just a second, but I have to do Ron's Rant of the Week first, okay? And here's Ron's Rant of the Week, and my guest will appreciate this. Oh, boy, will she ever. Walking into your local bicycle shop, otherwise known as the LBS in the world of bicycles here, with all these wonderful parts and accessories and things that you bought online, and then you expect the friendly folks, the folks that have always been really great at the bike shop, to be nice to you. They'll try really hard. Believe me, they will, but you're insulting them. These people at the bike shop have spent a good portion of their life learning their craft, getting really good at it. They have a lot of expertise. They have a lot of information. And when you walk in the door and you've got all this stuff that you think you got a great deal on somewhere else, you're kind of insulting. Well, you're not kind of insulting. You're totally insulting them. So please don't do that, okay? Support your local bike shop. Your local bike shop is there for a reason. They're there to help you. They're there to make your life a lot easier so you can go out and ride your bike with confidence. It's a good thing. So please don't do that. Okay, that's my rant of the week. I'm going to leave that, and I'm going to move on, and I'm going to go to my guest this week. My guest this week is Deb Dauphiné from Bicycles East in Glastonbury, Connecticut. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you, Ron. It's good to be here.
Yeah, this is cool. I'm not usually seeing you here. I'm usually, you know, at the bike shop, and I see you there, but
yeah,
this is
you.
So welcome to my world.
Thank you.
So anyway, I was talking with you at the store a few weeks back, which is when we first started to arrange this, and I wanted to bring you in because you've got a few different things going on. One being, it's all about women here. Okay, we're going to do a show today on women and women in cycling, and I just want a different perspective on this because I know that there are some issues. First of all, you're a woman and you own a bike shop, correct?
I do. I own it with my husband. So we're husband-wife.
Right.
Wife-team.
But the face when you walk through the door is Deb behind the counter.
I'm probably the first face that you'll see when you walk in, yes.
It seems that way. It seems that way. This is different than what I see when I walk into a lot of bicycle shops, just so you know. I had a woman who owned a bicycle shop in Portland, Maine, who just closed her store, and she'd been doing it for years and years and years. And Cheryl was one of the only, you know, women owning bicycles, one of the few women that own bicycle shops in New England. And so I wanted to bring this up because, you know, what's it like being a woman owning a bike shop? It's kind of a geeky, technical, sort of male-dominated industry. How do you deal with that?
You know, it's interesting because when we bought the bike shop, we were from outside of the industry. This is 14 years ago. And I wasn't thinking about women or men in bike shops. And I started to learn more about the different dynamics once we bought the store. I think that, you know, we're talking in gender generalizations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not always accurate, as we know. But I see bike shops, there is a mechanical piece, there is a technical piece, there is all of that. I know some of that. It's not my area of expertise, not necessarily because I'm a woman, because it's not my area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I see the bike shop experience as people-oriented and relationship-oriented. I see it as getting to know the clients and what their needs are and finding the solution for their needs. And in some cases, technical aspects come into play with that.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, when we if we get to a technical question that I can't answer, I'm going to bring in a technician. Again, whether it's male or female. As far as the relationships, that's what I see is people coming in with needs, and not everybody wants to talk tech, and not everybody's needs require talking tech, but we can do it when somebody wants us to, and if that's what they're looking for.
Sure, sure. Now, do you do your best to answer the technical questions the best you can, or do you then refer to someone else in the store, or how do you handle that?
So I know a lot about tech because I've learned it over the years, but there are people that know more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is true in any job. You never try to be something that you're not.
Right.
And so when I'm talking to somebody, I will answer all the questions that I can, and I will let them know if they get to a question that I'm not able to answer, that we have experts in that, and I'll bring that person over when appropriate. So usually we'll finish our conversation. I'll bring somebody over to answer all the tech questions if that's what somebody's interested in that I wasn't able to answer. And if somebody's really looking for high tech, then I'll just have somebody else work with them.
Sure, sure. And you've got plenty of qualified people. Your husband, Steve, is certainly a... I'm gonna put him in the labeling of a geeky guy. He definitely has.
I'm sure he's listening. But so Steve is a mechanical engineer by trade.
Yeah, you know, I could tell.
And we also have some wonderful mechanics. Our wonderful service manager, and it's rare that somebody has to be completely passed on to somebody else. But I'm more than happy to do that. More than happy to have them work with somebody else. But that's when we're getting into the high-tech things.
Right. So the customer base in a bicycle shop is, it's a male-dominated industry. It's even customer-wise, it seems like there's a lot of males involved. But what's your customer base like?
I think it's mixed. And I think that there's no question that it's a male-dominated industry. When I go to bike shows, when I go to different events, I'm often one of the few women in the room. That's changing. There are more and more women. There are more and more women working in what had been considered generally male-dominated industries. There are more men working in what had been considered female-dominated industries. Those lines are changing. But it definitely is historically a male-dominated field. Every bike store, or every business for that matter, has its own feel, its own personality, its own attitude.
Right.
And I think that reputation becomes known, and there's a right place for everybody. So I think that by reputation, our particular store may have a higher percentage of women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't be certain about that, but I can tell you what I see. And I see everything from what we would consider sort of the high-tech, competitive, aggressive mountain biker, competitive racer, to the families, to and those racers can be male or female.
Right, they can.
So
sure.
I don't want to distinguish there, but we see a lot of families, and we see a lot of women coming in for their own, whether it's competitive or recreational needs. We see them coming in to set up bikes for their kids, for their family needs. So we're seeing all of that.
And you've got
the board.
You have a pretty comfortable atmosphere there too. I mean, you have a little kind of little kids' corner in the store for the kids, and that's kind of a neat thing. I think that you've paid attention, I will say, to what you need to do to keep things comfortable for women.
And that's the goal. And I think that what's comfortable for women is comfortable for most people. What we don't have is we're not the place that when you walk in, all you see are bike parts on the wall. And I'm not critiquing that by any means.
No.
But it's different. So when you come in, the service center is in the back. So what you see are a lot of friendly people. You see all different kinds of bikes. And we have poised around the store places to keep kids interested. We have our little fish tank.
Right? Yes.
I don't know if we're we did a remodel and everybody said there's no place for the fish tank. And that fish tank stayed. That wasn't going away.
Right, right.
It keeps the kids interested.
Right.
We have our kids' test station. So it's designed so that people can be comfortable regardless of what they're looking for.
Now, you also have another woman on your staff, too. You're not the only woman in the store.
That's true. So Beth is wonderful, and she's been with us for several years. And
She is a confirmed bicycle geek person who loves to ride her bike.
Tremendously
and very
knowledgeable.
Dedicated to her sport.
Yeah, tremendously knowledgeable, tremendously experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a total, probably 6 staff that I can think of off the top of my head right now, 2 are women.
That's great. That's great. You know, that's unusual. You know, I don't see that in every store. And I talk to my stores a lot about how this needs to be addressed. Because, you know, you look at stats and things like women control 3/4 of the spending in the United States, and the bike industry needs to focus on them now. And this is something that we're not paying attention to. This is a strong buying market. It's a very enthusiastic market. The running industry figured it out, and they have, I think, participation at races now. There are more women that run in big races than there are men now. So they figured it out, but the bike industry hasn't figured it out yet. You got any ideas on that?
You know, I think that when I go to bike industry seminars, this is a big topic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting topic to me because I think about it a little bit differently. I really think that basic considerate customer service and talking to people is not gender specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it doesn't require a woman to make another woman feel comfortable.
Okay.
I don't think that has to be the case. I think that all people want to be listened to and have their needs met, whether that's a tech need, in which case you have to talk to a techie person,
mm-hmm.
whether it's somebody who's more relationship-oriented, in which case you need to talk to a more relationship-oriented person, and you know, you've known me a long time.
Yeah.
That would tend to be me.
Yeah, it definitely is you.
But it's a matter of listening and not putting on people what we want for them, but what they came in looking for and asking questions and talking to them.
Right.
And I don't think that there needs to be a section dedicated to women because I always say women have choices. Sometimes we want that product that was designed for the man. Maybe we like the color. Maybe it fits us better. You know, women come in all shapes and sizes,
mm-hmm.
and tastes.
They do.
So I believe it's important to have some products that are specific to women because we are built differently. We are proportioned differently.
Mm-hmm.
We need those choices. But there are cases where our choice might be a product that was designed for a man.
Right, right. And a lot of bikes, I have to say, a lot of bikes are designed for men, by men. It's a downfall of our industry, as I see it. It's something that, you know, we should probably pay a lot more attention to. And it seems like when some of the companies went to make more specific bicycles for women, they made some mistakes along the way. I don't know how you feel about that.
I think that a lot of that was my early time in the bike industry, mm-hmm. because for the past at least 10 years or so, the women's bikes that are in my store, and I think in most bicycle stores, are truly designed for women. And what that means is it's not a men's bike in pink or purple.
Right.
And first of all, not every woman likes pink or purple.
Unless you're Fran.
Right. No. I personally like pink or purple. But the difference in the bikes is more based on geometry.
Mm-hmm.
Women tend, again, generalization, but if you have a man and a woman of the same height, usually the women's legs are longer.
Mm-hmm.
Usually our torsos are shorter. Usually our shoulders are narrower. Usually our hands are a little bit smaller.
Right.
And so the women's bikes, if it's a true women's bike, the geometry is different. It doesn't mean that it has a low bar, or it doesn't mean that it has a high bar like we've thought of in our country. That's a U.S. specific thing.
Right.
And
right.
In Europe, low bar versus high bar doesn't denote gender. It denotes whether or not.
Not at all.
You want a low bar or a high bar.
There are many men that buy step through frames. And that's, you know, what it is referred to in other parts of the world than the United States. And I try to educate my dealers on that, too. It's not necessarily a woman's bike.
But it's, unfortunately, a lot of those aren't made in a gender-neutral country and are
right.
Are, you know, particular. That's changing.
Yeah,
that's changing a lot. So, but there, it doesn't mean that a woman wouldn't fit better on a men's bike because we're in all different shapes and sizes. It doesn't mean that a woman doesn't have a larger foot or a larger hand, and the biggest issue is in clothing. That, you know, there are women who are larger.
Yes. Yeah.
And they might not have made the shoe that they want in a large enough size or the jersey that they want. So that's an area I think we really need to look at, that, you know, we want to fit all women.
Sure. And you have a unique piece to your store. You have a corner that you have set aside. Not a corner you've set aside. You actually have a room that you've set aside with a closed door where you do bicycle fittings, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And can you tell me a little bit about that?
So Steve is a professional fitter. And, of course, by nature, the mechanical engineer in him got all excited because there are a lot of numbers and graphs and charts. And I know he's rolling his eyes at me right now if he's listening. But we have ways to take a lot of measurements both off the bike and on a bike and on a fit cycle, which is a bicycle that basically it's infinitely adjustable. So we can we can fit somebody's current bike and make changes, or we can use the fit cycle and identify their ideal bike and either do something custom or find something that is a stock bike that is going to best meet their needs or meet their needs really well with a couple of adjustments, a couple of changes.
Right. And everybody's needs are a little different. It doesn't, you know, necessarily, you could have two people come in that are the same size and they could be looking for different purpose for their bike, in which case the way they're going to fit on that bike is going to be different, correct?
This is very true. Bike fit is not just for a racer to figure out how they can go faster. It's not to make you go more aggressive. We've done bike fits on people for comfort because of injuries, for a whole bunch of things. But what's really important for anybody who's going into the bike market, and this is where going to your local bike shop makes a difference, and I'm not putting a plug for mine. I mean, whatever the good bike your local bike shop is bike sizing is not universal. There is nothing universal about it. I have one bike that's a 13-inch frame. I have one bike that's a 15-inch frame. I have one bike that's a 17-inch frame, and I have a 44-centimeter frame.
Really? All for you, for you specifically?
Yes.
Oh,
well,
okay. Personally, I should say.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Because the sizing isn't universal. Now, I have to admit that the 13-inch is a hand-me-up from my son who outgrew it. But the you could have a person, let's say you had somebody who was 6 feet tall, and I'll get this phone call, I'm 6 feet, what size bike do I need? If anybody gives you an answer, it's not accurate.
Right.
You first of all, it depends on the bike. It depends on the wheel size. It depends on the geometry. It depends on your personal flexibility and any injuries you may have. But even if that was all equal, you could take three people who are 6 feet tall. One has longer arms. One has longer legs. One has a longer torso. And it just isn't universal. And if you look online on Craigslist or anything else, and they say reason for selling the bike, usually it says the bike doesn't fit.
That's right. That's right. So if you call your local bike shop, let's back this up to the old local bike shop and, you know, the earlier rant and things like that. So you call your local bike shop, and I know I've talked to people about this, and they say, I called my local bike shop, and I told them I needed this and this. You know, I was this big, and they gave me this, like, crazy, like, run around about how, well, it's not the, you know, it's not the same. Everybody's a little different, and we really need to have you here. And I was kind of turned off by that, you know. And so this is a shout out, if you're listening to the show, that they're just trying to get the proper information to you. They're just trying to do it right. So please don't take it that you're being talked down to about, you know, your particular situation. They're just trying to get information from you so that they can help you and make things better. But it's always best to have a personal appearance.
And could I speak to the rant a little bit?
Sure, please.
And
I thought that rant would be kind of a good little thing for you.
It is. And what I would say is I would never take it. I wouldn't say don't ever bring your online purchases to a bike store.
Mm-hmm.
There are times that it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare, but there are times.
Right.
And if you come to us and talk to us about it, we can help guide with that. About usually people are pleasantly surprised that our prices aren't higher. What is insulting, and this happens, is people come with their online purchases and expect free installation because
we can do it quickly.
Or they will come in and ask for a free consultation to buy online.
That's not cool. That's rude.
But if you're doing if you're working with us, we're going to do everything we can to help you. And if you have something that you ended up finding, we will help you with the installation. We mm-hmm. will do that for you. Of course, we're going to charge our labor fee because that's only fair.
Sure.
The other thing about the calls for bike sizes, we're trying, and I've been on the end of these calls, we're trying to not give you bad advice. I've had people actually be angry with me because they have come in for a bike sizing. We have spent an hour with them. They intended to then use that information to buy online. We didn't know that at the time. They buy online, and then they call me back angry because I gave them the wrong size, because it wasn't the same bike I was sizing them to, mm-hmm. and the size wasn't universal.
Right.
So we're not trying to be difficult. We're trying to not steer you in the wrong direction because these things aren't universal. And one thing that people will be very surprised by is that the prices generally aren't higher in the bike store. It's a very good kept secret, and we would like it not to be a secret. There are some places you can get a lower price bike. Absolutely. You mm-hmm. can get a lower price anything
sure.
someplace.
Sure.
But I won't mention prices here, but if you look at the different websites, you will see prices comparable and sometimes lower than a sporting goods store.
Mm-hmm.
Than some places that you assume that the prices will be lower.
Right.
But that assumption is often a false assumption.
Mm-hmm. So it's always best to check with your local bike right. shop and see what they're doing.
People are often very surprised at the price they can get into a good bike for.
Right, right. And it's, you know, the fact is when you go into a bike shop and you get it's done right, and you're fitted properly, and you walk out that door with your new bike, and you've got, you know, everything you need to ride that bike, you're going to have so much more enjoyment from that because it was done right, versus picking up, like you say, the Craigslist special, you know, bike is too big for me, bike doesn't fit right, you know, but versus going in that direction and then finding that, you know, it's just not going to work out. How many bikes you think there are, and how many people you think there are out there that purchased a bicycle, it was completely wrong, they rode it once and said, I don't like this.
And I think there's a lot of them, and there is a solution to everything. We want people to enjoy their biking, and we have a Corning mission statement. We succeed when you enjoy using your bike.
Right.
We want you to have a great experience in the store. We want you to have a great experience in the service center, but you need to enjoy it when you're out there. And we will help you, by the way, enjoy a bike that you have from Craigslist. We will help you enjoy a bike that you got someplace else. Your local bike shop will help you with this. There is a solution to everything. We will even help you with fit services to go used bike shopping, because everybody has a budget and we respect that. And if you're, you know, so we will help you with these things. But there's a service for that. But if you have a bike, regardless of where you bought it, and it is not comfortable, go to your local bike shop. It is not a given with cycling that anything is supposed to hurt, that anything is not supposed to be comfortable. You've heard this, Ron, I'm sure.
Oh, God, 1,000 times.
The seat yes. is not supposed to hurt.
That's right.
Your wrist is not supposed to hurt. Your neck is not supposed to hurt.
Sell a SMP all the way.
How many saddles did we go through, Fran, before you got the saddle that you liked?
Ow, 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 and ow.
The quest for the perfect saddle.
Oh, God, Fran was, she is
I'm a princess.
She's the princess and the pea. Mm-hmm. You know the old
yes.
story
oh,
with
yeah.
the pea underneath the many mattresses?
I need that wide cutaway. And what I have discovered is that not everybody, in fact, most people don't need that wide cutaway and in fact think it's weird. I need it because I have an anatomical issue. And everybody's anatomy is different. And I know this from
Absolutely.
Being a physician. And so, you know, so, but I had to go through a lot of saddles before I found a saddle that didn't chafe me. And then when I have the misfortune of having to ride a saddle that doesn't have that wide cutaway, I remember why I got the wide cutaway. So all, every bike I own has that saddle with the real wide cutaway on it.
We bought a bunch of them.
It's the quest for the perfect saddle. And right. we actually have, I'll just mention, and we, again, we may not be the only one, saddle mapping services for the person who there are challenging issues with. I am one of those people. My husband will say I'm his most difficult fit client. There's some spouse dynamics
going
on.
Well, you know, that's probably not just because.
There's some dynamics going on there. But what I want to say to any cyclist, regardless of what bike you have, where you got it, it's not fun if something hurts. It's not fun if something is causing injury. It's not fun if something's uncomfortable. Go to your local bike shop and they will help you. And it doesn't mean they're going to try to sell you the right bike. I shouldn't say the right bike. I should say a different bike, because you may have the right bike that needs a tweak.
Right.
And you may have something that isn't going to work for you. And that's unfortunate, but it's not supposed to be uncomfortable. That's not a necessary sort of side effect of cycling.
And I know that I have sent a number of people to you for your fittings, and they have gone in and had a number of adjustments made, not major adjustments, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there, maybe a change in a stem or whatever, and they've just come away so much more satisfied because they're comfortable now for the first time in years on the bike, and it's the same bike. There's
the
no change.
Smallest tweak can make a huge difference, whether it's with injury or just general comfort. Even a saddle, changing the angle a couple millimeters, degrees
can make
a difference. The first solution shouldn't be trying to sell you something new. But we started about women.
Yes.
And this is where, and again, every woman is different. But when it comes to talking about certain comfort issues, it can often be more comfortable to talk to another woman.
I was going to say, you know, Fran is a great resource for if you ever want to have a women's clinic where you want to talk about certain sensitive things that we're not going to discuss on the radio today. But if you ever want to do that, she is an incredible resource for that sort of thing. And I've seen her do these clinics just when we're out with other women, and she'll just go into it, and these other women will kind of look at me and they'll go, "Are you?" I hear this all the time. It doesn't bother me because I've heard it, but because Fran is a doctor, she has a little bit more clinical approach to dealing with certain women's issues. So
this
is why I think that it's so great that you're a woman who owns a bike shop, because you're going to run into this. When I first started with my bike shop many, many years ago, and it was many years ago, there was one company that was building a woman's saddle, and the company's name was Avocet, and they made a women's specific saddle. It was shorter, it was wider. That's what made it a woman's saddle. But you know what? It resolved a lot of issues for a lot of women. And I sold the daylights out of them. And it was because I didn't get technical about it. I just, you know, explained women's pelvic structures versus men's pelvic structures. And I, you know, give it a try, see what you think. I had a trial thing. You could take it out and ride it for a week. If you don't like it, bring it back. We'll do something different. But I sold a pile of those saddles because of it, because women really do need something different.
And women need something different from each other as well, because we're built differently. So there's not one women's saddle that's going to meet every woman's needs.
No. That's for sure. Well, we know that with Fran.
People don't groove on those cell SMPs.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
Most people
don't
need them, or most people don't care for them. I have to have that because of certain anatomical issues. But my experience, most women don't use those. So a lot of women like a cutaway, but not that cutaway.
Yeah, that saddle is very unique. And are you familiar with that one?
That specific one, I don't think that I am.
Oh, we'll show it to you
I'd
sometime.
I'd be interested in seeing it.
Yeah. It just has an unusually wide cutaway. That's
and
its main
no,
feature.
It's not just that. No.
And it's
way, way different than that. It's also shaped like a, it has a lot of drop and dip and
okay.
curve.
That
so
part
the,
of it I
the
don't
nose,
think I care about. It's just, it's the wide cutaway that I really need.
The nose of the saddle comes
way
up
down.
And then it curves way down and it's just the most bizarre looking thing you've ever seen.
I'd be interested to see it because it's solving an issue that I may need to help somebody solve someday.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
The other thing about saddles and women, this applies to men too, but we're talking a bit about women here, is some misconceptions. So wider is not always better.
That's right.
Pushier is not always better. If you're having saddle issues and you talk to somebody in your local bike shop, they should be able to guide you toward what's right for you and what's right for the way that you are riding. And that cushy may actually make things worse. In some cases,
that's right.
It'll make things better. The other thing is we can talk about these issues without, if you're not comfortable talking too personally about where the discomfort is, the question I ask is I'll point to a saddle. Is the discomfort here, here, or here?
Oh, there you go.
We have enough information to know where we need to resolve the issue.
Right, because you know where certain parts fall upon the bike saddle, so you can kind of tell from there as to where you need to make your adjustments.
Width matters, and we have ways of identifying if somebody's needs a wider or narrower saddle. And ladies, it does not relate to the size of our body.
Right.
it relates to the width
of your sits bones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Right.
So people will come in and they'll say, I need the widest saddle you have. Probably not, but
probably
let's explore
not.
It. I'm never going to say that somebody's wrong because they know their body. So let's explore it. That might be the answer. But maybe it isn't. Maybe there's a solution that somebody wasn't aware of that we need to collaborate on.
So this is a sensitive area. How do you measure that?
Okay, so all
See,
it is.
Now back to being a woman selling to a woman. This
okay.
is far easier for you to do than it would be
if
for me to
need,
do.
If we need, this is totally non-intrusive.
Yeah.
We have, it's basically a little bench that you sit on. It has, it will detect where your sit bones are.
Okay.
That, so the measurement is then taken off of the bench. It's not taken off of your body.
So does the bench have some sort of a gel product on it,
it
or something
does.
That depresses where the sits bones
yeah,
are?
Yeah, exactly.
Ah,
and then
okay.
It has a product that you then, we smooth out after. I kind of think of it as Etch-a-Sketch-like, but with gel. And I get in trouble with my husband about this because I make pictures in it. But, you know, you got to have some fun, right? But the... There are ways to do this that are completely non-intrusive.
Okay. Okay. Good.
So,
well, that's good to know.
We're not measuring your body for this particular.
Right.
To get this information.
Right. And that can be a sensitive issue.
And this is, for that particular measurement, I should mention, most critical on bikes where you're leaning forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because
so more of the drop bar type bike or even a more aggressive mountain bike.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That measurement can be used for upright bikes, but it's not usually what you're looking for.
Right.
Because
right.
your sits bones on an upright bike are sitting on the cushy part.
Right, right. Because your weight and distribution is different too
right.
at that point. Right.
When you're leaning sure. more forward, your sits bones are hitting a different part of the saddle.
Okay, so when you're selling to women, okay, what would you say is the most popular bike of all the different styles of bikes that are out there? Obviously, we have comfort bicycles, we have mountain bicycles, we have road bicycles, we have bikes that kind of cross over sort of bicycles, like, what do we call it, whether we were calling them the dirt
bikes,
road bikes,
or, right.
and, you know, that sort
cross
of thing.
Cross bikes, gravel bikes.
Gravel bikes, that's it. That's a category that irritates me. But
I love my gravel grinder.
I know you do, but I find it an irritating. It's a cyclocross bike. It's just been modified, that's all. It's, it's something that's been around for years, and it's just our industry
but
going out and finding yet a new way to define a bicycle that already exists.
I'm going to respectfully disagree, and here's
why.
Here's
that's why you're here.
For what a lot of people are referring to as a gravel bike, for those who may not know the term. It's basically looks sort of like a road bike, but it's going to handle the gravel paths, the dirt roads, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What I consider a gravel bike, it doesn't matter what you call it, people will call things different things, is the cyclocross bike has features that were designed for racing, the true cyclocross bike, and many of them are pricier. So some you can get into a gravel bike for that purpose at a lower price.
Okay.
And maybe what you're looking for. So that's my thinking, is that it's a, they're not always race worthy.
Right.
And you do cyclocross race.
But I don't race anymore. But I love my cyclocross bike. It's my favorite bike. Of all the bikes I own, it's always my go-to is always the cross bike. It's just it's just my happy bike.
And for somebody else, that's the happy bike. And for another person, the gravel bike is the happy bike. And for somebody else, the comfort bike's the happy bike.
So what are you selling mostly to women?
You know, so off the top of my head, there isn't a specific one. So this is going to be a bit of a non-answer. More and more women are getting involved, just like you were saying, more and more women getting involved in the road racing. More and more women at all different ages are getting involved in triathlons or duathlons, and they are getting into road bikes where they had been using their older mountain bike or their hybrid. And the fact is, you can do it in those bikes. And if your goal is to do it at whatever pace and be happy, that's great. If your goal is to do it faster, mm-hmm. then you have to have a road bike, because for a variety of reasons, they go faster and there's nothing you can do about it. It doesn't
right.
matter how hard you try on a different bike, it won't go as fast.
Or you're going to work awfully hard to make it go fast.
But as you know, with the gearing, the mountain bike's going to tap out.
Sure.
You're going to get to the point where you can't make it go any faster, even though your body is capable. But so we are seeing more and more women looking for those road bikes, and fit on a road bike is super important. It's not forgiving. So you
yes,
want to get
is.
That just right. So we're seeing, and we're also seeing more and more women getting into more technical mountain biking. There's
nice.
Also a lot of women and men, of course, looking for recreational biking, getting out there, riding their bike around town for errands, riding their bike around, even riding to work. There's women who want to ride with their families, and they want to ride on the gravel pass, and they're going to look for something that has more comfort features.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing it across the board. But I think we're seeing a trend of more women who want to get competitive.
But is that right?
But keep in mind,
huh.
Well, we have an active aging population.
Yes.
So biking is non-impact.
Right, right.
Biking
well, our industry really caters to the aging clientele because of that.
And so because we're non-impact, a lot of people have had to move from running to biking, or they want to cross-train into biking, or they were into running and someone talked them into doing a triathlon.
Right.
So we're seeing people who are retired getting into more competition.
Well, you know what they call old injured runners, right?
Cyclists?
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of a standard joke in the industry, but it's true. I mean, I can't tell you how many of my friends that I ride with used to run a lot, and now they're not. Now they're riding their bikes.
And the key is, when somebody comes in, male or female, but we're going to talk to them about what they want to do. And mm-hmm. that's going to determine the bike that's best for them. So we are still seeing a lot of women recreational riders, women riding with their kids. I have a client. Can I tell you a story about a client
sure.
that I will never forget? This woman was awesome. She was close to 80 years old. And she came into the store and she said, I want to start riding. I've not ridden a bike in 50 years. So don't be worried if you haven't ridden a bike in a long time, because 50 years is our record here. And she left the store knowing how to ride a bike.
Wow.
So, but she came in and she was scared. She was nervous. We got her on a bike that was a type of bike that has a different geometry where you can put your feet on the ground when you stop. Which makes
I know that style
right,
of bike.
You know
right,
that style
right.
of bike.
Yep.
It looks bigger than it is, so she was scared of it, so it took a while before we tried it.
Mm-hmm.
I kept picking up on the fear. So I said to this woman, why? Tell me why you want to ride your bike. Why are you here? You're here for a reason. And she said to me, I have a four-year-old grandson. And my grandson said, Grandma, I want to ride a bike with you. And gosh darn it, I'm going to ride a bike with my grandson.
Oh, that's great.
And that is just as important as somebody saying, I want to win a race.
Yes, absolutely.
And we took her out, my husband and I, he'll probably remember this too. We took her out to a safe place in a parking lot. We ran on either side of the bike because mm-hmm. we were not going to let this woman get a hurt.
Right, right.
And she left so happy.
That's so
and
cool.
And knowing that she was out there with her grandson. And we've gotten phone calls saying, I'm riding with my child. We're starting to bond. We have this activity together.
Isn't it great?
These stories, every person who rides a bike rides it for a different reason, and they all have stories.
Right.
And the stories are touching, and sometimes they're health-related, sometimes they're family-related, sometimes they're trying to reach a goal. They want to test themselves in one way or another, their own personal goal, whatever that may be. And all those stories are special, which is why the mission is we succeed when you enjoy your bike, using your bike, and
sure.
how you use it is different than how somebody else uses it.
Yes, it is.
But I will never forget that woman and many situations like that.
See, we need more of this in the world. Bonding over the bicycle. What a great thing. Instead of bonding over a computer game or you know, something that's just not recreational. You know, it's just great. It's a great way to teach the younger children that, you know, that physical activity is a good thing. What a wonderful thing.
Bikes are all good.
Bikes are great. But you know me. I mean, you're preaching to the choir with me. I'm all about bikes. I love bikes. And I think everyone should ride a bike. Right, Fran? Isn't that what I always say?
That is what you think.
It's what I say.
And if somebody feels that they can't or they're nervous, that's what your local bike shop is there for. I had somebody come in who she had a medical issue. I won't go into her personal situation. She thought that she could not ride a bike. After really exploring it and talking, and she finally felt comfortable sharing what the situation was, we got her on a bike that she could ride. She couldn't ride the bike that she had or the one that she thought she could ride, but after we really talked about it, and it had to do with balance.
Mm-hmm.
And the typical solution that most people would think of for balance wasn't going to be the right solution for her. And it had to do with neck angle and head angle and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the most beautiful card from her a couple of weeks later.
Yeah.
About how now she was doing something that for years she thought she couldn't do, that she enjoyed when she was younger, and now she was doing it again. And it changes people's lives. It's corny.
Right.
But
right. It does. It really does. People come alive again. We call them born-again athletes. That's you know, because you've sat dormant for so many years, and then all of a sudden you discover this wonderful thing, and the bicycle is good.
And if you ride a bike, whether it's a mile down the boardwalk at the beach, around the cul-de-sac with your child, or you're up there on the podium winning races, you are a cyclist. You're riding your bike. Whether you're wearing spandex, whether you're wearing your beach clothes, your skirt, whatever the case may be, you're riding a bike, and there's no judging. And I think a lot of things that keep people, and we're talking about women also, that will keep women from going into a bike store is if they think that bike stores are only for spandex-clad techie people.
Oh, God, yeah.
And some mm-hmm. are.
Some are.
Some are.
There are some like that.
And there's
that.
Nothing wrong with those stores, but it's not the right store for you if that's not what you're looking for.
Right. So don't judge all stores by that particular stereotype.
And the internet's great for this. You can get a first look.
Right.
You can see, talk to your friends. But most bike stores, and I can certainly say that ours isn't like that. We can meet all those tech needs. Absolutely. There's no question.
Mm.
But when you walk in, it's going to be comfortable. And so don't think that anybody's going to judge you because your goal is not the same as somebody else's goal.
So here's why I wanted to bring you in, and the whole, men and women are different. I don't know if you haven't noticed that. Women, I think, are more sensitive to people's feelings than men are. I think that's kind of a given.
I think that's a fair generalization. There are individual differences,
There are some men that are very good about, you know, picking up on people's feelings. But I think that you probably are in an advantage situation when a woman comes through your door because you are a woman. And I think that helps.
I think it does help. And, you know, my husband and I came from very different backgrounds when we bought the store.
Mm-hmm.
He came from manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
I came from mental health and substance abuse programming.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I came from human services, 20 years in human services.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I'm the touchy-feely.
Right,
I mean, I can talk tech when somebody wants to talk tech.
But you're also trained to be more sensitive to people's feelings and emotions because of your background.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
Oh, well, that says a lot.
So I'm also going
How
to
in the world did you and Steve meet?
But it's also the men in our store have learned to, and we're careful with our hiring.
Yeah.
Are generally sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and we'll listen and we'll talk and ask questions. But sometimes people are more comfortable with one person in the store than with another person in the store. But yeah, there is that a little bit of difference in Steve and my background.
Yeah, that's really funny. Well, I know that it's important as to who you're hiring for your store too, because a good friend of ours who we love to ride with, he grew up in the same town I grew up in. And Dave Burgess.
Yes.
And his son is working at your store, or well, was working at your store.
He did work in our store in high school and college. And
yeah.
Certainly is welcome, graduated college. Yeah.
But they're good people.
Very, very good people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Very
really
good people.
Nice.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Dave. Greg. So anyway, but that made it a good fit for your store because he's, you know, Dave's a good guy.
Good people.
Yeah, and he's good people, so it's
and
a good thing.
When I'm interviewing somebody, if I'll give you a tip, please smile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It
no
helps.
Kidding. Yeah, it does. It does. It really does.
Because we, you know, considerate, friendly people, everybody feels more comfortable with. Now,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, that doesn't mean that if you're, you know, sometimes you're in a rush, you want to run in, you need something, you want to run out, by all means.
Right, right. That's cool. So just talk a little bit more about the benefits of getting a bike from a bike shop versus other sources. You know, why should someone even bother going to a bike shop?
Good question. So first of all, we talked about the fit and the sizing. A typical bike in a bike store is going to be offered in somewhere between 4 and 10 sizes.
Oof,
and we want to get that right.
Mm.
The other thing is we want to get you the right type of bike. We want to get you the right accessories for the bike so that you can enjoy it. So starting with type of bike, I've had people come in looking for a mountain bike because that's what they know. Not for mountain biking, but for other types of riding, and we'll explore that. But there might be a type of bike based on the conversation that we have that's perfect for them that they didn't know existed. It could be that gravel bike that you're not thrilled with, Ron.
Yeah.
It could be there's different variations of hybrid bikes, so it could be a kind of bike that they didn't know existed that now they're aware of that we've shown them. When we look at, we're going to fit the bike, we're going to size the bike, we're going to adjust the bike, they're going to get, it's going to have been built by a qualified mechanic, it's going to be serviced by a qualified mechanic after the fact, we're going to be able to give them all the support, and also talking about accessories, what do they need to enjoy it? If you leave a store just with a bike, you may have everything you need at home, but if you're new, we know that at some point, you're going to get thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
We know that if you're riding it for the purposes of going with your kids, that you're going to need a way to carry a snack.
Sure.
And we know that if you're commuting to work, that you're going to need a way to carry your items and that you're going to need a way to be seen on the road. So all of that expertise is going to help you to get something that you're going to enjoy and that you're going to enjoy comfortably and hopefully for a very long time.
Great. That's great. So do you offer any like women's nights where you have, you know, just women gathering for, say, like a bicycle ride or discussion or anything like that?
We actually do. So it's on my schedule, actually, for this week to plan it. There will be an evening in March. I don't have a date yet.
Okay.
But it'll be on my website, which I'm sure we'll mention at the end.
Yes, we will.
We will be having a women's night. I have to plan exactly what that will be. What it was last year, just to give you a sense, was there was a lot of socializing. Mm-hmm. There were enjoyable refreshments.
Ah,
and
that
there
good.
Were optional stations. There were clinics, flat changing clinics, other clinics. There were clinics on bicycle advocacy and on some of the local activities, clinics on bike commuting or bike touring. So those were optional and offered at different times, or you could just choose to socialize. And so we'll be having another one of those some evening in March.
Okay. You should let me know when you're going to do that, because I would like to be there for that. If that would
be... absolutely. You're more than welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do bring people in, also different reps and different experts in
sure.
the field for women to speak to as well.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a women's road ride. We have group rides. We have mountain bike rides. We have road rides throughout the season. We have a ride. Those are co-ed. We
mm-hmm.
have a Wednesday evening road ride that is specific to women and have a wonderful leader. Reagan is our leader, and I lead when she's not available, but I'm always there because they're fun. And that will be on Wednesday evenings. I anticipate beginning on April 19th. That's when the daylight looks like it will
mm-hmm.
work for us. So that will be coming up too as well.
It's all coming soon. It really is.
It is surprisingly close.
It is. And tomorrow it's going to be 60 degrees in Connecticut in February, which is like kind of blows you away to think about that.
Spring is right around the corner.
It gives you that little bit of a taste, you know, to get you involved. You do bicycle maintenance classes.
Yes.
Do women participate in that?
Actually, women do participate. We have classes over the off season which have been half women. And we also, during the season, we have a series of free clinics on Saturday mornings before we open on set Saturdays, where we discuss different topics such as flat repair, different types of on-the-road adjustments, and things like that.
Well, that's great. Now, so your website is?
Our website is www.bicyclesEast.com. That's bicycles plural, bicyclesEast.com.
Okay, great.
And we also have a Facebook page, of course.
Right. And so people can get a hold of you that way. That's great. That's really, really good. Deb, this has been great. This has been really good. I've wanted to do this for a while, and I think it's a really good way of you know, letting women know more about how, you know, bike shops can be friendly. They can be good. They can be a good thing.
We are there for you. Please come see us.
Yes.
And thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. No, this is great. My guest today has been Deb Dauphiné from Bicycles East in Glastonbury, Connecticut, a woman who owns a bicycle shop, which is kind of a rarity in this industry. And I just thought I would bring her in here and get a perspective here. I'd like to do a number of shows that are specifically targeted towards women. I have had in the past a professional bicycle racer on who is a woman who gave us some really good insight on that. And there are a few other ideas that I have out there. One thing I completely forgot to ask you, and it's usually in the first part of the interview, and I need to ask you what your first experience you can remember on a bicycle was.
My first experience, and I'm not sure if I remember this from a picture or in real life, was my blue kid's bicycle that I got for my birthday, and I sat on it. My feet didn't touch the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I was very happy.
That's good.
That was my first
Do you know
bike.
How old you were then?
I think I was about 8.
Oh, okay.
I think I was about 8, and I'm sure there were earlier memories, but that was That's a what long you got. Time ago. We won't say how long.
Okay, we won't go there. We won't go there. Well, Deb, it's been great to have you here. My name is Pedlin Ron. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you'd like to reach me, you can reach me at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can visit my Facebook page, which is called Bicycle Talk. This is Pedlin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut.